The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to read verses 7 through 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. When you get there, you'll notice that those are some familiar verses, but verses that are very relevant and will speak to us in these days and times that we are enduring. As I always say, I want to encourage you to keep your Bible or your app or whatever it might be. I want you to keep it open, to follow along in the text. You might also desire to take a note or two somewhere, amen, down, just in case something is said that captures a thought in your mind or pricks your heart. But not only that, I want you to take, not only do I want you to take the note down, but Psalm 107:2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord, come on somebody, say so, for whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And so if there's something said that convicts your heart, if there's something said that speaks to your mind, the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. So put a note in the comment section to give us an emotion, just to let somebody know, yes, the Lord is talking to me, even if it is a word of affirmation that simply says, amen. Come on, somebody. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 7 through 9. On today, I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. The New King James Version of the Bible. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. So on this second day of June, June 14th, 2020, with our country in crisis and desperately in need of healing, but we need healing from two pandemics, both of which is affecting millions of America, both of which is killing hundreds of people every day, or just number of people every day, and both of which involve essential or frontline workers who are risking their own lives just to try to fight against the pandemic as well as to try to save the lives of others. So with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject, struggling but still winning. Come on, somebody. Whoo, Jesus. I know. Struggling but still winning. I know the struggle is real, but so is winning. Come on, somebody. Can somebody declare that right now? I'm struggling, but I'm still winning. How do I know? Because I'm still alive. Come on, somebody. Y'all ain't with me today. I'm struggling, but I'm still winning. Come on. And not only encourage yourself, encourage somebody online with you right now. We might be struggling, woo, Jesus, but we are still winning, because I'm here in spite of what I'm struggling with. I'm here in spite of myself, so I am still winning. I might have been whining last night, but today is a new day. I'm winning. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Struggling, but still winning. Now, while we might be in different spaces, we need to get in the same place of one accord. And the way we do that is we want to simply ask God to fill up the space wherever we might be. The spaces of our mind, the spaces of our heart, our rooms, our living rooms, or wherever it is you may be listening. We want the Holy Spirit to fill up the room. And it's being on one accord about the fact that with God, all things are possible. Without him, we can do nothing. So we're going to pray that prayer that we pray each week. It's a prayer of just uniformity. Because while we all have individual needs right now as we prepare to hear a word from the Lord, we just want God to move. Father, open my eyes so I can see your truth. Open my ears so I can hear your voice. Open my mind so I can understand your word. And open my heart so that I may receive all that you have for me that is for me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Struggling, but still winning. My brothers and my sisters, there are times when all of us feel overwhelmed or maybe even overcome by life's problems, difficulties, and complications. And those are some things that can make you feel sad, tired, and weak. I'm talking mentally, physically, emotionally, and even spiritually. So much so that I'm probably talking to somebody right now who feels like quitting or maybe even like giving up. Talking to somebody who was either feeling right now or you felt like this in the past, feeling like everyone and everything is determined to bring you down and make you fail. Nothing, it seems, to be going right, and the harder you try, the worse things seem to get. You just want to give up. Throw your hands in the air and declare, what's the use? Have you been there? Come on, somebody. Am I talking to anybody? Am I talking to somebody who was tired of struggling? I mean, I just need some honest Christians with me, some honest folk who would declare, I am tired of having to struggle. Listen, I'll be honest. I get tired sometimes. The reason I get tired is because the struggle is real. But I need to encourage you the same way I have to sometimes encourage myself. Every now and then I have to tell myself, don't give up the struggle. Don't give up the fight. As a matter of fact, I have to say to some people sometimes that if you are struggling, guess what? That's actually good news because that means there's still some fight in you. Amen. These days, it seems especially that there is a pressing that many are feeling in life. Talking about a deep-seated pressure that sometimes can't be explained. Maybe an uncomfortability that can sometimes feel unbearable. Yet something in us is stirred, allowing us to continue to move forward. In other words, to keep on keeping on. Thus, in this life, we must continue to the conclusion that pressure is inevitable and that sometimes, I don't mean no harm, sometimes pressure is good. Lord, help me to stand tall in this house. Sometimes trouble on every side brings out of us a side that we didn't know we had. Come on, somebody. What are you saying, Pastor King? Well, my brother and my sister, what I'm trying to say to you and to all of us is that while it seems that the negative or the bad side of pressure that sometimes comes out is far often too highlighted. It's far often too much highlighted and sensationalized. But the word of truth says that in these earthen vessels, these bodies of flesh, these jars of clay, lies a treasure. It's a hidden treasure. It's It's a hidden treasure that needs to be on display for all to see. But sometimes, in order for that display to come out, that sometimes it's going to take some pressure. It's going to take some trials. It might even take a tragedy for the best of you to be manifested for everybody to see. As difficult as it may seem, this is a truth that we all are going to have to wrestle with. For the portion of scripture that we read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 gives us a glimpse of the totality of Paul's problem, which were many. Yet this wonderful word of God tells us that Paul was pressed to continue for the glory of the Most High God. Let me speak this into your heart, mind, and spirit right now. Listen, you should quickly understand that your purpose in Christ does not end because of trouble. I'll say it again. I said your purpose in Christ does not end because of trouble. God brings out the best of us when we are faced with trouble. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Listen, I know some of y'all got a little bling bling in your ear, on your hands, or whatever the case may be. I'm talking about them diamonds. Come on, somebody. Yeah, diamonds. Every now and then, we all like to adorn some diamonds. Like I said, whether in your ear, on your finger, wherever it may be. But diamonds are made by high pressure. A diamond is the hardest rock known to man. Its name means unbreakable or invincible. I'm going somewhere. As God is building his people, hear me when I say this, strong-rooted, God-fearing people are produced by pressure. They are built under pressure. You and I will never be able to understand the miracles of God without the troubles of life. The enemy of our souls would love to have us throw in the towel when things get tough, but I need to tell you, and I need you to tell somebody, don't give up the fight. Let's draw a point from this text. It says, treasure in earthen vessels. When we think of treasure, I don't know about you, but every now and then, especially when you've got one of those minds of imagination, when you think of a treasure, you might think of pirates looking for a hidden treasure. And so your mind begins to think of the adventures that lie and waiting in this journey and the work that it would take to get to the destination of this unfound treasure. Well, really, there is an unfound treasure in every one of us today. Specifically, confessed, baptized believers in Jesus. Talking about a treasure that has not been tapped to its fullest extent. Here in our scripture, Paul says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. My brothers and my sisters, on this side of time, we are vessels. And we are vessels that hold things. Can I teach just for a moment? You see, some vessels hold things like water. Others can hold things like food, etc. Vessels are used to hold and store things, watch this, that are of value and to be used for potential future use. Yet there are some things that we hold as earthen vessels that can be dangerous for us. They can hurt us and really destroy us. Things like pride, arrogance, unforgiveness, sin. Those things can destroy an individual. James 1:15 says, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Listen, no matter how great your Christian walk may seem, you are still a mortal man and a mortal woman. We are still the victim of circumstances, still subject to the chances and the changes of human life, still a mortal body with all of the body's weaknesses and pains. You are an individual with a precious treasure contained in an earthen vessel. But watch this, while the vessel itself is weak, while the vessel itself has flaws, God has chosen to use weak things like you and me to hold treasures. Treasures that can bless someone else. Talking about jewels of wisdom, jewels of experience, treasures that bring hope and life, treasures that cannot be bought because they're too expensive to purchase. Yet they are so basic that it baffles the simplest of minds. But let's look at this for a moment and see that what it is that God is trying to convey to us concerning vessels. You see, vessels carry things. They hold things, but they also pass things through. I'm just going to teach this thing for a moment. Think about this. A ship is considered a vessel. And it's considered a vessel that carries things. A container is considered a vessel. It's considered a vessel that holds things. But an artery, think about this. An artery is also considered a vessel. Teach, Holy Ghost. And it's a vessel that passes things through. So it's a vessel that allows blood to flow properly to the heart. Now, don't you find it interesting that the Bible tells us in Matthew 6:21 that where your treasure is your heart will be also. So let me ask you a question. What is more important? I'm talking about your heart. What is more important than carrying the Word of God? What is more important than holding the Word of God near and dear to you? What is more important than allowing the Word of God to properly flow through you? Come on, vessel. We gotta quit being used as devices for evil, because we can be used for the wrong purpose by the wrong person. We need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, and we need to know that as earthen vessels, we got a treasure. And if the Bible says where your treasure is, your heart will be also, let me ask you again, then what is more important? I don't mean any harm, but I don't care what's going on in the world of the news. What's more important than carrying the Word of God in your heart? What's more important than you holding tightly to the Word of God in your heart? And then tell me, what is more important than you allowing the Word of God to properly flow through you? The Bible tells us that this treasure is going to be displayed in these earthen vessels. That means you and me. So the question is, how will the vessel be? Will the vessel actually display the treasure? And see, we always want things to be nice and easy. No, ma'am, no, sir. Because the text tells us that the way that this treasure will be on display is it's going to come through pressure. It says we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. persecuted, God Almighty, but not forsaken. Anybody feel persecuted right now? Struck down, but not destroyed. Life has surrounded us with infirmity. Christ has surrounded us with his glory. But we must remember, teach Holy Ghost, that the infirmity is ours. The glory is God's. Oh, Jesus. I'll say it again. I said life has surrounded us with infirmity. Christ has surrounded us with glory. But remember, the infirmity is ours. The glory belongs to God. And all that means is that we can do nothing without him. All of our help comes from the Lord. Paul described this Christian life here in this passage, in which our infirmity, watch this, is actually intermingled with God's glory. I want you to look at your text. Watch the text, watch the text, watch the text. Now read your translation, read your translation. But I like the way Eugene H. Peterson's The Message translation reads in verses 8 through 12. So I want you to see your translation, but I want you to hear this translation from The Message, verses 8 through 12. Watch this. It says, we've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't broken. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. Our lives are at a constant risk for Jesus' sake, which makes Jesus' life all the more evident in us. While we're going through the worst, you're getting in on the best. There are moments that we are at our wit's end, but we're never at our hope's end. Good God Almighty. There are times when the Christian does not know what to do, but even then they never doubt that something can be done. There are times when the Christian cannot see where life is going, but they never doubt that it's going somewhere. There are times when a Christian has to learn one of the hardest lessons of all, the very lesson that Jesus himself had to learn in the Garden of Gethsemane, how to accept what he or she cannot understand, and we must still be able to say, nevertheless, God, you are love, and I build my faith on that. Or in other words, nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. I'm going to say something that I need you to think about. Pressure can either be your best friend or your worst enemy. Come on, somebody. I said pressure can either be your best friend or your worst enemy. But guess what? It still depends on you. Pressure can either bring the best out of you or it can destroy you. And I'm going to say that all what depends on who you are listening to when you are going through the pressure. Are you listening to Jesus through the person of the Holy Spirit, or are you listening to Satan, who is the devil himself? Listen, diamonds are created through pressure, lots of pressure. But diamonds are invincible. Diamonds are unbreakable when they are finished. So let me ask you, my brother and my sister, are you a diamond in the rough? The treasure that is in you can only be displayed through pressure. Tell somebody if they're in a struggle. Tell yourself if you're in a struggle. Tell them that if you are under pressure, tell them God is making diamonds out of us. Come on, somebody. Y'all didn't hear me. Help me, somebody. Tell them God is making diamonds out of us. As I get ready to close, struggling but still winning. There's an old saying that anything worth having is worth working or fighting for. You need to understand, I need to understand, we need to understand that this fight is a fight that the enemy does not want you or we or me to win. That's why he is constantly attacking us every chance he gets. That's why he's constantly attacking us on every side and on every hand. And that's why the devil, the enemy, has been working hard to keep you down for so long. That's why he's been messing over you, me, and us for so long. Because he does not want us to succeed in life. But in order for you to declare, I'm struggling, but still winning, you're going to have to have the power of his presence. It's right there in verse 7. You see, the treasure equals the anointing. And the Bible says that the treasure is in me. Come on, somebody. But the treasure is not me. The Bible says that the treasure is in me. I'm just a vessel. But you see, we need to learn how to utilize the presence. In other words, utilize the treasure. And so I need the power of his presence, because the power of his presence, what it does is it positions me. Right there in verses 8 through 10, it positions or it transforms me. Transform means a change in nature. It means a change in function. It means a change in condition of something or someone. Romans 12 and 2 says, because my mind, I'm talking spiritual, physical, is transformed, I don't get wrapped up, come on somebody, in what's happening around me. I don't get so caught up to the point that it controls me. Because if that kind of stuff is controlling your mind, your behavior, your demeanor, then guess what? You're under the wrong control. Circumstances don't circumvent. They don't surround my mind. Situations don't saturate. They don't soak my life. Conditions don't control or regulate my position. Amen, amen, and amen. So I need the power of his presence. That's the treasure. That's the anointing that is inside of me. Why? Because it positions me. But the last thing is it also protects me. Good God Almighty. Verses 11 through 15. Verse 14 said, because of the power and the position, it doesn't matter what life may bring. I'm struggling, but I'm still winning. Why? Because I am protected. I want you to declare with me that you can't bring me down, because I'm protected. You can't do me in, because I'm protected. Satan, you can't have a stronghold in my life, because I'm protected. Let me leave you with these words one more time. We've been surrounded and battered by trouble, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do. But we know, God, that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't broken. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. But what Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. Come on, somebody. Our lives are at a constant risk for Jesus' sake, which makes Jesus' life all the more evident in us. While we're going through the worst, you're getting in on the best. That's why I can say I'm struggling, but I'm still winning. I'm struggling with all of this stuff, but I'm still winning. Struggling sometimes to keep my focus, but when I have to shake myself by trying to keep my focus, myself has to say, that means you're focusing on the wrong things. I have to lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. Yes, the struggle is real, but we didn't know that so is winning. We have the victory. The victory has already been won. We just need to know what position we're fighting from. We're not fighting from a position of weakness. We're fighting from a position of victoriousness. We are the head and not the tail. Struggling, but still winning. To God be the glory. To God be the praise. Now at this time, hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we get ready to transition, as the word sinks into your heart. Remember, you are responsible for the field. That's your heart. The seed is good. That's the word of God. I am merely a vessel crying out in this wilderness. But you are responsible for your heart. Your heart is the ground that the seed is going to fall. But then it's the Holy Spirit that nurtures. Says some water, but it's God who's responsible for the increase. So as the choir comes, the song is led by Sister Stephanie Murray, singing in background, other voices, our minister of music, Brother Ryan Lucky, Sister Monique Lucas, and Sister Nakia Fowler. But your focus is not on them. Your focus is on the Most High God.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.